everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. We're glad you've joined us today as we continue our teaching series called The Grace Guide to Marriage, an insight-filled study that we hope is finding meaning and purpose in your home and in your marriage. For today, the phone lines into the live program are not open. However, if you have a question about anything you hear or have heard on Basic Gospel, or if there's something you'd like us to discuss, you can call our 24-hour listener line at 844-322-2742. We'll be glad to hear from you. Again, that's 844-322-2742, and that number is good in the U.S. and in Canada. But for today, welcome to The Grace Guide to Marriage on Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
And today on The Grace Guide to Marriage, we're going to talk about money. Money is one of those uncomfortable subjects. It's a topic that we don't like to discuss, but it's so vitally important. And if you look at list of why married couples divorce, you're always going to find money issues within the top five, maybe top two. And some lists, you'll see it as the very number one reason why couples get divorced. And it's one of those reasons that compels couples to seek marriage counseling. But why is that? Why do we have such an issue with money? Well, on today's broadcast, we hope to unravel that question and give some solid biblical answers as to how you can handle money wisely and for a wonderful purpose within your marriage. So let's get started. As I've just mentioned, money is one of the main causes of divorce, not only here in America, but around the world. We have trouble dealing with this important subject. We have trouble coming together as one in how we're going to manage and steward the money, the resources that God has provided. And because we have such trouble, that can become a wedge between any husband and wife. And before we take off, we have to realize that it's not the amount of money that a couple has to steward. That's never the issue. Otherwise, you would never see a divorce in the ultra rich and only see divorce in the poor. So it's not the amount of money. Why? Because divorce covers that broad spectrum. The poor get divorced, the middle income folks get divorced, and the rich get divorced, all alike, and they all cite money problems as the cause. So it's not the amount of money, it's how the couple manages money. It's a word that we like to use in Christian circles, a word called stewardship. How are we going to steward the money that God has provided for us, the resources that God has provided from His hand to yours? So let's take a look at some of the key verses in the Word of God to give us a feel for what the Word of God has to say about money. Now, when you look at the Bible, there's over 31,000 verses in the Bible. Over 2,300 of those verses deal with money, deal with wealth, deal with some aspect of how to manage money. So it's a big subject. It's not something that God overlooks. It's not something that Jesus overlooked. Almost 15% of what Jesus taught about was on the subject of money. That's huge. He taught more on money than he did on faith and prayer. If you look at the content, just measure the amount of content in all of his words recorded in the gospel account. So money is a very, very important subject in the Word of God, and how we deal with it is going to expose or give us a look into what's really going on inside these hearts of ours. Now, where we want to start today is Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. This is right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, and much of the Sermon on the Mount, well, actually all of the Sermon on the Mount, is preparation for what's up ahead, for what's coming after Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So the law was given to show us our need, to prepare our hearts to receive Jesus Christ. And Jesus, in this sermon, really takes that truth and amplifies it, expands on it. He shows us what it's going to take to be blessed, the heart attitudes, and those are the Beatitudes, and we see in that the humble nature. God gives grace to the humble, but rejects the proud. That's just truth. And in those Beatitudes, we see the different facets, the different aspects of humility. And then he goes on to talk about the stringency of the law, that it goes all the way to the heart. And he wants us to see that the heart is the problem. And right in the middle of that, he gives this particular passage. He says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So money is one of those issues of the heart. And here he's talking about the worship of money, the bowing down to money as if it were a god, as if it could bring us meaning and purpose to life, as if it could bring us unconditional love and acceptance, as if it could meet the deepest needs of the human heart. But money can't do that. Money was never designed to do that. It's simply a tool to be used wisely in our hands. It's never meant to be something that we worship, that we cling to for meaning and purpose. So if you're serving money, you can't be serving God. If you're worshiping money, you can't be worshiping God. So in marriage, when we have money issues, when we have a crisis around how we're going to handle the finances, what we're going to do with the money that God has given us, oftentimes it's going to reveal where our hearts are. Have we really come to grips with the fact that Jesus is Lord? Have we really come to grips with the fact that ultimate contentment, ultimate happiness, ultimate abundance in life is going to come from Him and nothing else? Now, why Jesus pits these two against each other, God and money? Because when you really distill the world down, the God of the world is money. We see that behind every single crisis in the world. If you follow the money, you can get to the heart and soul of what's really going on in all of those various things. So money really is the God of this world. And money issues, money confrontations, all of those things expose the heart to what's really going on. And that's why we need to really step back and regain focus on what our purpose in marriage is all about. Is it about me and my happiness, or is it about reflecting the very love of Christ for His church out to a dying world? And if we understand our purpose, then we will be able to freely talk about money issues without getting so bent out of shape, without feeling uncomfortable. We can just lay out a plan on how we want to spend the resources God has given us, both wisely and for His ultimate purpose and His ultimate glory. So you can't serve both God and money. It's a heart issue. And if your heart has been made right by God, you've been given a new heart, then you can rest assured that He can move you away from utilizing money or depending upon money for meaning and purpose, and to set your heart clearly in Jesus Christ and finding contentment in who you are in Him. So no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money at the same time. Now, Hebrews 13:5 says this, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. These are attitudes in the Word of God that we should have toward money. And as we walk by faith in Jesus Christ, we're going to find ourselves more and more content in who we are, and that way more and more free to handle money wisely. And the reason that we can be content is because we have everything in Jesus. As He said, He will never leave us nor forsake us. Benjamin Franklin said this, and I love this quote. He says, "Money never made a man happy yet, nor will it. The more a man has, the more he wants. Instead of filling a vacuum, it simply makes one." And I think all of us can bear that out in our human experience. The more we want money, the more we want to amass wealth, the greater the vacuum that's left in our hearts. Money will not make us happy. Only Jesus can bring contentment and joy to the human heart. Well, this is Basic Gospel. We're talking about money and marriage today. My name is Bob Christopher. We're so grateful that you have joined us. We have had a great time talking about marriage through the summer months. We'll only have probably one or two more weeks, and we will button this subject up and move on to one of the books in the New Testament to work through in our Friday teaching edition. If you have a particular book that you would like to see us work through, we would certainly welcome your recommendation, and we will consider that and look at all the things that come in and make our choice accordingly. And you can send in a request to bob@basicgospel.net for a book for that you would like us to cover on Fridays, and we would be glad to see your recommendation. Or you can leave your request on our Facebook page or our YouTube channel. And I know many people are watching us right now on our YouTube channel, and we're certainly glad you were there. If you're watching and have not subscribed to YouTube, we encourage you to subscribe to our channel, and certainly tell others, tell your friends to subscribe as well. We love what's happening on our YouTube channel. We love the opportunities that it gives us to really reach new people, new listeners, with the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Also, we have a wonderful resource that we want to put in your hands this month. It's called The Real You. It's a 5-message CD series that we want to put in your hands and talk about a tool that's going to help your marriage. This is one of the best tools that you can possibly put in your hands. Why? Because when you find out who you are in Christ, and when you find out who that person you married is in Christ Jesus, it just changes the whole nature of the relationship. It lifts your sights above just the things that the world may offer. It lifts your sights above what your ultimate purpose for marriage is. And it really helps you to fit into the grand design of God for you and your mate. So this is a wonderful resource. We want to put it in your hands. It's available for a gift this month, The Basic Gospel. Today's the last day to request it for this month. So go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click on the link, The Real You, a big banner right on the homepage, and follow all the instructions. And be sure to check the box to request your copy of The Real You. We'll get it to you as quickly as we possibly can. Again, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher. Let's jump back in to our study on grace in marriage and money, how to handle money in the marriage relationship. So we can't love both God and money. We're only going to find contentment in Christ Jesus. And these are things that we need to constantly talk about as far as marriage is concerned. Husbands and wives need to sit down and talk through this time and time and time again, just to remember, just to recall who you are in Christ, where your ultimate contentment and joy is to be found, and to encourage one another to grow in that grace, to grow in that grace of God that saved you, to grow in that knowledge of Christ Jesus, the one who gave himself for you, who loved you and gave himself for you. So if you can encourage one another on that line, to find contentment in Christ, it's really going to help you come together in this issue of money. Now, one of the things that we find out in 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils, and it is through this craving that some have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Now, money is not the problem. Money is not the root of, or a root of all kinds of evils. It is the love of money. And that gets back to the passage we read where Jesus said you can't worship God and money or serve God and money at the same time. Why? Because if you're worshiping something, that means your heart has affections there. You're loving that, and that thing is going to eventually control you. That's a truth that we all need to understand. Whatever you depend upon for meaning and purpose to life, that thing will ultimately control you. And if it's money, if you're showing your love for money through dependency on money for meaning and purpose to life, then money is going to control you, and it is going to make you wander away from the faith, and can you pierce you through with many pangs. So that's how significant this topic is, and how significant this love of money can be. So you have to realize who you are in Christ. You have to realize the forgiveness that you have in Christ. You have to realize that Christ is alive in you. And as you depend upon him, then this money thing will fall into place. And the other thing that we need to realize is this, that if we're struggling with money, we just need a little bit more. We just need a little bit more to cover our bills, to save some and do that. We have to realize that when it's all said and done, what Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 19 of his great letter, he says that my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So if you and your mate can live in that attitude, live in that dependence, that God is going to supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory, it's going to take all the angst out of money management. It's going to take out all the anxiety, and is really going to give you some freedom to manage your resources and come together as one in how to handle the money that God has provided for you. So what I want to do for the rest of our time together is to talk about some practical money management solutions as far as marriage is concerned. And I have seven of these that we're going to quickly work through. So the first one is this: know your financial position. So as a married couple, both husband and wife need to always know what the financial position of the marriage is. What does that mean? That you have no secrets. So one of the things that I advise for couples who are about to get married is that they lay out all of their financial position on a table so that each of you, each person knows exactly what they're getting into once they say, "I do." So if you're bringing debt into a relationship, you need to lay that out on the table. Your spouse needs to know how much you owe. Maybe you have student debts. Maybe you have car loans. Maybe you have credit card loans. She or he needs to know what those are. So you want to put that out on the table. Why? Because if you're hiding things from one another, one, that means there's distrust there, and that's not going to do the marriage any good. So you need to deal with one another in trust, and you need to lay out your financial position before each other. No secrets in marriage. I've seen a number of couples that have had financial secrets, and boy, when they were revealed, man, it was a terrible, terrible thing. Why? Because the person that did not know felt bamboozled, felt taken advantage of, totally embarrassed that their mate, the person that they had given themselves to, didn't trust them enough with their whole money situation. So you need to know your financial position, no secrets, and that's from the beginning of your marriage all the way through to the end. The second thing that we want to talk about is an attitude. We need to, as married people, adopt an our money attitude. I see a lot of married couples use this kind of language. Well, his money and my money, or her money and my money. They have separate checking accounts. They have separate spending plans for the different money that comes in. And that really just puts a wedge in the marriage, in the relationship. And so we need to adopt an our money attitude. And I encourage people to have a single checking account, a joint checking account. And if you have a savings account, let it be a joint savings account. If you have a retirement account, let that be a joint retirement account. Why? Because the two of you have become one, and you need to be on the same page as far as money is concerned. If you're on separate pages, that's when money becomes that sore subject that causes angst in a lot of marriages. So adopt an our money attitude. The next thing that I think is important for married couples to do is to establish an emergency fund, to put some money aside up front and have that for emergencies. And when emergencies arise, you don't have to worry about where money's going to come from. You've already saved up some money for those types of things. So establish an emergency fund within your marriage. The fourth thing is this, to retire debt as soon as possible. Your marriage has a wonderful purpose. You're to reflect the very love of Christ for his church. As Paul talked about that in Ephesians chapter 5, he's talking about that that husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church. Wives should submit and respect their husbands in all things. And then he says, this is a mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. So we have a greater purpose than just being a couple that enjoys life together. We get to reflect something out there to the world, to show the world what the love of Christ for his church is all about. And so we want to be able to use our resources to help advance the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, if we're in debt, it's hard to use those resources. So develop a plan, make a plan, and retire the debt as soon as possible. And one of the ways you're going to do that is never spend as much as you make. Live within your means. America, the Western culture, the world today does not live within its means. There's not a single country in this world that is operating with a balanced budget. Well, maybe there's some that I don't know about, but all the major powers have unbelievable debt that they're trying to manage. Here in America, it's in the trillions. So we need to learn as individuals, as married couples, to not spend as much as we make. And then we want to save some for future needs. And then we want to give generously. I think that's the greatest thing that we as married couples can do, is to learn to give generously of our resources. And there's several verses that speak to this. Jesus said it. Paul repeated Jesus' words in the book of Acts 20:35. And he said, it is more blessed to give then receive. I think there's no greater joy for Gina and me than the blessing of giving to Basic Gospel, giving to support the needs of people in our community. That's something that we cherish, that we love to do, and it gives us great joy. Why? Because it truly is more blessed to give than receive. And then finally, Paul talks about this, that we're to excel in the grace of giving. In 2 Corinthians 8:7, he says, but as you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge, in all earnestness, see that you excel in this act of grace also. What is it? It's the grace of giving. That's what God has called us to, and what joy we can have in sharing that in marriage and excelling in that together as one, as husband and wife. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Boy, the time has flown by today. I hope this has been helpful to you. And I hope when your next conversation about money arises, you'll be able to enjoy that conversation and to make a plan on how to use your money wisely for the good and the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll see you Monday. Bye-bye.